It's an honor for me to be part of the 35-year celebration of this church. We remember the past and the people who have sacrificed. But like I said earlier, the ultimate purpose is for us to celebrate the faithfulness of God and to thank Him that He was with us for 35 years. It's been mentioned already multiple times. Let me repeat it again. This was the first Romanian church in Atlanta. How many churches are there now? If we count them all. 20? Someone said 20? No. Wrong number. I think there's, if you count all of them, Aventish, Orthodox, I think there's 6, 7. There's a lot. More? I can't keep counting anymore. 35 years ago, there was only one. You're going to hear tonight, you've already heard, and tomorrow as well, about the past. But the question that I get asked the most is this. Because I work with the youth, how do you see the Romanian church in the future? How do you see the Romanian churches in the association? Va fi o biserică din Hickory in 35 years? How about in Chicago? In California? People are asking me another question. If you look at the landscape of America, is there going to be churches, American, Romanian, 35 years from now? Based on the numbers, it's showing like people are dropping every single year, especially among the young people. They don't have faith anymore. That's what they claim. Based on those numbers, it doesn't look good. So to answer this question, I want to share with you my past perspective in the last 35 years. You can say it's my personal testimony. Let's put the first image on, Fratello Marcello. That's Andy, not me. And it's not Andy Stanley. That's Andy Bowman, fourth grade, my best friend. We made a promise to each other on the school bus. He was a nerd, I was a nerd. We're gonna have each other's back against all the bullies, and we're gonna be friends forever, for life. I would come home, and my parents would say this, Lassapa Andy, your best friend needs to be Jesus. Mom, Dad, Lassa, I can't see God. I can't see Jesus. I can see Andy. I can hear Andy. He made me a promise on the bus. He made me a covenant. We're blood brothers. I was young, walking by sight, not by faith. It was a very short period of time after that. This friend let me down. He didn't keep his promise. He broke it. He moved, and I haven't talked to him since. A couple of years later, young family in Atlanta, they were looking for inspiration, a ministry that we can learn from. There was no one better in the 80s than Jimmy Swaggart. He could evangelize, he could preach, he could sing, and my dad bought a whole bunch of these tapes. And I remember driving to Florida with one hand on the volant and with the other hand up in the air, and the whole car was ringing with, Jesus, just the mention of your name. I know what you're thinking, especially our Pentecostal friends. A Baptist minister with his hands up in the air? Yes, it's possible. He was an example for us, a model. Wow, what an inspiration. It didn't take him long for him to fail us, to break his promise. And I'll never forget the night when he did this. Please show the next clip.
It's you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood.
He broke his promise. I will never forget Oti Shimonka was mentioned. He was one of the founders. And I will never forget when you had this young, small church, Romanian church, trying to figure out, where can we learn from? And Oti came and he said, I have discovered someone, a ministry that's growing, that we need to follow, an example. It's a wonderful example. And a young church, absolutely, at that time in the 80s. PTL Club. Jim Baker and Tammy Faye. I remember when Oti came to my parents, and we together, their family and our family together, we were young, we went to Heritage USA in South Carolina. It was going to be an amusement park for Christians, for believers. The greatest thing. That's how you do ministry. They must be doing something right. We've got to take an example for them. Wow. It didn't take long for Jim Baker to break his promises, to fail us. Show the picture, the third picture. That's him being dragged away for many scandals. I'm not going to name all of them. He was indicted for taking millions of dollars, using it for personal use instead of for the ministry's use. I remember in 2000, and I think it was around 2010, 2009, I was starting to work with the youth, and like anything else, you try to make the word of God the most important thing on the youth, and we had a situation where the young people, they want music, create a band, Christian labels, that was a thing, and we had a young man, I'll never forget this, impressionable young man, he listened to all the Christian bands. And there's one that he particularly liked, the Fee Band. And he had a big sticker on his laptop. The Fee Band was a contemporary band that was led by Steve Fee. He let us down. He broke his promises. A very short period of time after that, in 2010, around that period of time, it was announced that he was being unfaithful to his wife for 4 years out of the 5 years that he was married. I can talk to you about Mark Driscoll from Seattle. How about Perry Noble from South Carolina? I remember when a team from us went to his church. That's how you do praise and worship. Wow. He let us down. How about the wise and older James McDonald from Harvest, Chicago? I remember when the Chicago youth came and says, you have a curriculum from Harvest. It's awesome. There's branding going on in Romania of possible harvest churches. And he let us down. He broke his promises. Why am I telling you all this? Well, let me give you one more a little bit closer to home. Recently, less than 2 months ago, Joshua Harris. For those who know, he wrote the book, Kissing, Dating, Goodbye. I taught the youth from that book how to be pure. It's not about dating, it's about courting. Purity rings. Less than 2 months ago, he said, I regret everything I wrote. I don't even believe that stuff. He divorced his wife. He's questioning if he's a believer, questioning his faith. He's let us down. For 35 years, I'm the son of a pastor. There's a reason why pastor kids don't go into ministry. There's a reason why pastor kids, some of them even drop their faith because of the darkness they hear and see. Not from their parents, not from their father, but from the community, from the churches. My father was a pastor of the Romanian Baptist Association. I could talk about politics in church. A lot of it in all the churches. And if you don't know it, every single church for that matter. If you say there's not politics, even the mega in American, that's probably on the periphery. You're not on the inside. Why am I telling you all this? I've learned something throughout these years, that people will let you down. They're not trustworthy. They're not constant. They're not reliable. If you put them under a microscope, they give Christianity a bad name. All of people eventually will let you down. They won't keep their promises. As I've gotten older throughout the years, I've realized, as a young boy, I gave people the benefit of the doubt, but as I'm getting older, I don't trust people anymore. I have trust issues. You might ask why. You don't want to know why. Some of you in this room, the people who are supposed to protect you the most have lied to you. They made you promises that they have broken. Your parents. Some of you, your parents have made promises to each other. They made vows to Almighty God. I'll be faithful. I'll love you in good and bad, sickness and health. And then they're unfaithful. They want to bring it to an end. You get to the point of where you start wondering, what is going on? Is there anybody to trust? What's so bad is when it starts spilling into your relationship with God. You start doubting. You read it and you start thinking, I don't know if this stuff is true. You start guarding your heart. Can the cross really pay it all? Or is this stuff a joke? This stuff about faith. All the people around me have failed me. Is it all lies? I've got good news for the youth tonight. There is someone who you can trust 100%. And it's God. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we humans are faithless, he is faithful. What does that mean? He, God, is faithful. He is completely reliable. He keep his word. He will keep it. And he'll fulfill his promises. He can be trusted. God is a covenant-keeping God, while we're faithless. We're hovering back and forth. How many times have we made promises to God? I surrender all. I can rededicate my life at another worship song. We have degrees that we move them back and forth. We're like the ocean waves, hot and cold. If we are faithless, he is faithful. He is a rock that we can depend on. No matter what he says, it will come into fruition. That's why if you look in Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Beautiful. Look at the next phrase. Here's his attribute. He is the faithful God. Someone you can trust 100%. Keeping his covenant, his promise of love. In the Bible, it says multiple times when it describes his love as steadfast, like a rock. Keeping his covenant of love, his promise of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. 1,000 generations? That's another way of saying forever. What is God saying in Deuteronomy and Timothy? I am not like Jimmy Swaggart. I am not like Jim Baker. I am not like your parents. I am not like Ariel. I am faithful, and I'll be faithful 100%. You can count on me. You can count my promises. You don't trust anybody? Trust me. You can depend upon me. Humans will break their promises all the time. I will not. I will keep them to 1,000 generations. My conclusion is this for our youth. The young church, future church, If your faith is based on humans around you, their behavior, their actions, you're going to be let down. And like a house of cards, your faith might also go. That's why my prayer, over 35 years I've learned this, that by faith, look beyond the people in front of you, the humans. If you want to call the human props, it could be celebrity pastors, social media influencers, your parents, yourself. Look beyond that and focus your eyes on God, on Jesus, the originator and perfecter of your faith, Hebrews 12, 2. If you do that, I'm not worried about the future, about the church. I trust God that 1,000 generations from now, He will help you endure. He'll be with you. He will be faithful. My parents were right. Jesus is my loyal, faithful friend for life. And if you are in God's family, by faith alone in Christ, you can have a friend that's closer than a brother. You can trust Him. He is faithful. The mission of this church for the last 35 years was very simple. Not to show others how good we are. It was to show others how good God is. So my prayer is that we'll continue this mission for another 35 years. May God bless us all. Amen.